name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe.
Amen.
Jesus did not come seeking admirers. Jesus came seeking followers. Jesus did not go through the region of Galilee saying, "I have five beliefs about the divine and human nature of my being, which I would like for you to study." Jesus did not say, "If you would like to become great spiritual teachers, join my movement." Jesus said simply, "Follow me. Follow me." The book of Acts is an amazing book. In many senses, but particularly in relation to the early followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus. As you may recall, all the remaining 11 of them forsook Jesus. They betrayed Jesus. Some denied that they had ever had any relationship with Jesus. And they did not want to be identified as followers of Jesus. One of the strongest witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus is the transformation that occurred in the lives of the disciples. In the book of Acts, we see this motley crew that had run away, that had been living in fear, that had been hiding out, boldly transformed. We see people who are not afraid to speak in the presence of the authorities who say they're going to imprison them if they don't shut up. We see those who are willing to risk their own lives because of their encounter with the risen Christ. And we also see a remarkable thing in the risen Christ. The risen Christ entrusts his mission to this group. The risen Christ entrusts his mission to this group. You go and do. You go and do what I've called you to do. One of the people to whom this mission was entrusted in the early church was one of the first deacons, whose name was Philip. In our first reading this morning from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we encounter Philip. Philip appears various times in the book of Acts. Not only is he one of the first deacons, we also learn in chapter 23 of the book of Acts that he was married and he had four daughters, four prophesying daughters. So we can assume, among other things, that Philip was a strong supporter of the ministry of women in the early church. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, from which our first reading is taken today, Philip has been preaching in Jerusalem and in Samaria. The church had begun to make some progress in Jerusalem, but in Samaria it was encountering persecution. The church was learning that what the world does to Jesus, the world also does to the followers of Jesus. Philip is in Jerusalem, and he is preaching, and our text says that the voice of an angel came to him and said, "Get up and go. Get up and go, Philip. Go out into the desert. go out on the wilderness road. And the text says that the Holy Spirit also came to Philip and said, I will be with you, Philip, when you go out into the desert. Philip did not say, I feel that the ministry I'm having here at Christ Church in Jerusalem is going so well that I can't leave at this time. He decided to get up and go. And apparently he went without any travel allowance because it appears that he is walking. And he walks out into the desert, and at high noon, he meets an Ethiopian official who works who works for the queen of Ethiopia. The man is identified as a eunuch. He's in a chariot, which meant that he was a powerful person in the court. Only powerful people had chariots. And the Spirit says to Philip, go up to this man. Go up to this Ethiopian eunuch. Philip gets a little closer and he hears that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, which is one of the suffering servant passages. Philip goes up to the eunuch and says, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand it? The eunuch says, no. Philip says, may I get in the chariot and we can have here the first Bible study on wheels in the history of the early church? And he does. Now, the eunuch probably didn't understand, because according to the 23rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, eunuchs were forbidden to enter the temple, which means he could not have gone in for instruction on the book of Isaiah. We don't know why the eunuch was in Jerusalem. He may have been a religious Jew. We're not sure. But we do know he was not forbidden. He was forbidden to enter the temple. We know that Judaism was present in Ethiopia, because tradition tells us that the country of Ethiopia was founded by the great grandson of Noah. And even though the eunuch was from Ethiopia, Ethiopia was considered a developed country. You know, everyone believed the world was flat. Ethiopia was just at the end, just before you fell off. But it was a highly developed country. Philip gets into the chariot, and he begins to talk with him about Isaiah 53. And he begins to interpret his understanding of Jesus as the suffering servant. The Ethiopian eunuch is very much moved by what Philip has to say. And apparently Philip had also had the opportunity to speak with him about baptism, because as they're traveling along in the chariot, they come to a little oasis in the desert, and the Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Now, that seems like a sort of simple question as you hear it read from the lectern on a Sunday morning. But you know what the official answer to that question would have been? What is to keep you from being baptized? Number one, you are not a Jew. Number two, you've had no instruction in the temple. Number three, you are a eunuch, and Scripture is very clear that eunuchs are not allowed in the assembly of the Lord. And number four, you are Ethiopian, and no Gentile has ever been in the church. What is to keep me from being baptized? Well, just those few little things there. But what does Philip do? Philip does not respond with the official line, Philip says, "Let's do it. Let's do it." Philip, led by the Spirit, jumps over all those barriers that would have kept the Ethiopian eunuch out of the church. And he baptizes the eunuch. And the eunuch is made a part of the body of Christ. And tradition tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and founded the Christian church, which is strong today. As a matter of fact, Ethiopians are sending missionaries to the Western world. In the book of Acts, Luke tells us, writing the book, that Philip was taken on to preach in other places. Now, this story was very, very important for the early church. And it was very important for the early church for two primary reasons. One was it made very clear that the gospel was universal. The gospel was not just for the Jewish nation. The gospel was not just for the good people in Jerusalem. The gospel was for the whole world, even to the ends of the earth. Even to the ends of the earth. So that was point one. But point two, which was just as radical as point one, was that the Holy Spirit loves to jump over borders. The Holy Spirit loves to jump over barriers. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you better get used to jumping over barriers and not into the process of building walls that divide and separate human beings. You gotta be willing to be led to jump over barriers that you probably thought were impossible. We've seen many changes in the institutional church since the day of Philip. One of the changes that we have noted in our lifetime is the reality that Christianity is no longer a norm in Europe. One of the things that we now know is that a majority of young adults, people under 40, in all of Europe, claim no religion. They claim that religion has no influence on their behavior and on their thinking. In our own country, we often are concerned about the absence of people who show up on Sunday morning. And that is a valid concern. But I have a concern which for me is greater. I'm not as concerned about the people who don't show up on Sunday morning as I am about the people who claim to be followers of Jesus who don't show up on Monday morning. The mission of the church is in the world. The mission of the church involves being willing to listen to the Holy Spirit that calls us into whatever desert the Holy Spirit wants us to go. If the Ethiopian eunuch had encountered a Christian in Texas during our age, that Christian would probably have been more concerned about which bathroom the Ethiopian eunuch could have used than about whether he could be baptized. How often have we in the Christian church said we don't care about Ethiopians, much less eunuchs? And for years, we didn't want them in our churches. In the world in which we live in the U.S. on Monday morning, it is almost impossible in areas such as the economic world to distinguish between someone who has Christian values and someone who claims to have none of those values. We live in a society in which Christianity has influenced some of our behavior and powerful symbols, which are now being transformed and destroyed. Leviticus 19 tells us very clearly that we should welcome the stranger, love the stranger, because we were strangers in Egypt. And Leviticus 19 had a strong influence on the wording that was found on the Statue of Liberty. It said, "Give me your tired, your poor, the wretched of the earth." We're now in the process of transforming that symbolism for a grotesque, ineffective border wall that says, "Stay the hell away. We don't want you, particularly if you are a eunuch." If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you don't just show up on Sunday morning. You show up on Monday morning. You show up in the world in which you live. You address those issues that seek to tell us that the Ethiopian eunuch does not belong. We seek to address those issues that inflame the racism in our own society today. Those of us who worked in the civil rights movement in the 1960s remember very well certain kinds of codes. When federal laws were passed, it said that, for example, restaurants and hotels had to be integrated. You began to see signs that said, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone." And everyone knew exactly what that meant. I had not seen a sign such as that for a long time until last week. I was walking past one of the new restaurants across the street here. They have a big sign in the front window that says, "We reserve the right to refuse to serve anyone." We need to be aware that as followers of Jesus, we have a moral responsibility to address those realities in our world that seek to dehumanize our fellow human beings. We need to realize that if we're going to be followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to call us to cross borders that we thought were never possible. We're going to have to realize that we're never going to be able to stay forever in the church in Jerusalem. That if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we got to listen to the Spirit and move out into the desert. Move out into the desert and embrace the Ethiopian eunuch as our brother in Christ. Let there be peace among us, and let us never be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.